Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rehabilitating Your Portfolio, a podcast about how to protect capital while still capturing the upside. And now, here's your host, Brett Rosenthal.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal, and we are going to explore all aspects of rehabilitating your investment portfolio. Don't forget, this is a live trading desk, so phones might ring. I might have to put you on pause for a minute to execute orders. We're actively managing capital as I'm doing this show with you, so bear with me if I have to step away. What we're going to be talking about on the show are tools that I'm literally using on an everyday basis to protect capital, but also allow for the portfolio to increase in value when the market gives us an opportunity. So without further ado, as you all know who have been following the show, we jump right into a discussion of our algorithms and what they're telling us today and how it affects our portfolio management. So I pause right now as the markets plummet in the back half of the day here. So apparently the eclipse has made its way almost all the way across the country, and traders in New York are afraid of the dark. We'll see what happens there. Okay, let's go into our S&P. We have, of course, our three big equity indexes that we have proprietary algorithms designed to help us invest more accurately. We try to put risk on when the algorithms are giving us the all clear signal, and we take risk off when the algorithms tell us it's time to hold cash. So let's start with the S&P. We use the index, or the ETF SPY, as our vehicle. We were long back in the beginning of July. We exited all positions, as we discussed on this show, on August 10th. Market rallied up for a couple of days, rolled over, and has plummeted to new lows. And I say plummet kind of tongue in cheek, because you know the market hasn't even had a 3% correction yet, which is kind of crazy. So, but any little wiggle down seems to be a real cause for panic in the news media. So, not much to report. The market, our algorithms are still holding cash, still suggesting we hold cash in the S&P. And the S&P is just, you know, it's below the 50-day moving average, as everybody reports, but the real point of control in the market is right around 242 in the SPY. And, you know, back around 240 is break-even on the year. So, you know, we're still kind of, you know, bouncing around in here. I wouldn't get too bent out of shape just yet. But for the purposes of our portfolio, we were in cash as of, you know, the 10th of August. So there's different ways to run a portfolio. You can have a 100% algorithmic portfolio, which does exactly what the algorithm tells us, in which case any S&P exposure went to 100% cash on that day. If you're managing a portfolio of individual equities, at the very least, what you would do with that information is look at all the positions in the portfolio, find the ones that are underperforming, and prune the tree. Get defensive, start protecting capital. That's what this is all about. And we hop over to the NASDAQ 100. We were out of the NASDAQ 100 on the 10th of August as well. Then we had another entry point on the 15th. But as we described, and if you follow us on Twitter, we try to update on a real-time basis what we're doing if it's really important. And on the 16th, we told you first thing in the, or I should say on the 17th, first thing in the morning, we told you we were out there exiting all of our positions and going short. So the market was down big on the 17th, and we actually enjoyed a profit on that day on the short side using our intraday algorithms. So we have intermediate term investment algorithms, and then we have intraday trading algorithms to help us further refine our process of managing risk and taking advantage of upside when possible. We also suggested on the 16th that it was a good time to be putting out some put options to support a portfolio, to protect a portfolio. Even if you don't want to be aggressively managing your portfolio, if buying and holding has been a process for you that has worked, obviously it has in the last 5 years, and if you've either A, were not an investor in 2008, or B, have a very short-term memory, and so you think buying and holding still works, I would strongly suggest that when algorithms are flashing major warning signs, at the very least you do some things to protect those long-term holdings. You don't have to sell everything out of the portfolio, but perhaps buying some insurance, using the option market to protect capital at the right time would be a good thing to do. And when we were doing that on the 16th in both the S&P and the NASDAQ 100, we were buying options that went out to the very end of this year that had a very advantageous price. We only needed about a 3% decline from prices on the 16th to break even on the trade. So you would think somewhere between now and the end of the year there'll be a 3% correction, right? And if that turns into something a lot bigger, then we're protected. If not, that's okay. That's what insurance is. So that's another way to use the algorithms. And, of course, the small cap index has been the leader in this market decline. It's now down for the year. We're under the 200-day moving average. Small caps are down for the year, and they're starting to cut into the, quote, Trump rally. Let me remind you, we were out on July 27th, about 2 days from the ultimate high of the year. Our algorithms were flashing the profit protection exit, and we discussed how we'd be shifting all of our small cap investments into larger cap names for protection. So it's no surprise small caps continue to go lower. As we discussed, I'm just kind of, this is a bit of an update and a repeat show just to remind you all, small caps lead on the downside because there's no government support of small caps. Central banks don't buy small cap stocks. They plow money into Facebook and Apple. So when the markets do start to break down, the first area is going to be small caps. And that's why you can use algorithms to when you're trying to rehabilitate your portfolio and make investments but still have an eye towards protecting capital, you can be long some of the big cap names in this market and short small cap index and hedge your portfolio that way. So that's another strategy to protect yourself. These are different ways to protect your nest egg. So this is a bit of a continuation of our last conversation, protecting your nest egg. You can use the algorithms to set up hedges against other investments. So you could be long your Apples and your Amazons if you want to keep holding them, but short the small cap index back on the 27th of July to protect yourself. Give yourself a cushion. So where are we today? All three of these indexes are still in cash. I've got nothing to report. There's no long positions for investment longs. Now, from an intraday standpoint, using our intraday algorithms, what we do on days like this where we're not long any of the indexes is we're buying weakness intraday. Yeah, you heard that right. I know you're surprised. You said, why would you be buying? Your algorithms say to be in cash. Intraday, we're buying weakness. Our short-term intraday algorithms are designed to benefit off of hysteria in the morning. So when you get into a downtrend and markets open up and start trading lower and, you know, everyone's all concerned, market's down 0.5%, 30%, whatever, there are some very easy telltale signs that show up that give us an opportunity to put money out long. And so we did that on Friday, had a real nice up day Friday. Again today, right around 11:09 was the reversal, you know, minute to be put a fine point on it. it was a real nice, you know, trade higher. But then the market's kind of gone quiet the rest of the day. So from an intraday standpoint, you might find it interesting that we don't look to short in the midst of a downtrend. Some of the best moves in a downtrend are on the long side intraday. You get a vicious move down in the morning, sets up a beautiful entry point, and you get a even more aggressive move higher in the middle of the day. And then sometimes when we're really in a downtrend, we'll put the shorts out late in the day. But we're not in a downtrend right now. Okay? I want to stress that. I can't stress that enough. The markets are not in a downtrend. Just because we're in cash doesn't mean that we're looking for a big decline in the market. I'm looking for an opportunity to get long again. I'm looking to buy the weakness. We don't know when the market's going to stop, start going up again, and make new highs on the year. And the danger right now, the danger is listening to CNBC or reading newspapers or talking to a broker who starts telling you all the facts about how awful the market is and how the market has to go down, and you buy into somebody's prognostication, and they're wrong. And they can't admit that they're wrong, and so you miss the entire move higher. Okay? Do I think the market's going lower from an intellectual standpoint? Absolutely. We could spend the next, you know, 5 hours going over all the statistics of how ridiculous the market is right now from a pricing standpoint. But that won't stop the market from making new highs. And you can't manage money based on what you believe is supposed to happen and force your will on the market. It never works like that. The market will steamroll you. You have to read and react. And the way we do that is by using algorithms, right? Because algorithms don't have emotions. You know, they don't read the newspaper. They don't know what's going on in North Korea, and they don't care. When the risk-reward setup is right, money gets put to work. It's that simple. Intelligent stop losses are used and hidden, by the way, in the market. Don't ever let anyone know where your stop is, because they'll just take you right out of the position. But that's how you run money correctly. And let me just segue into my thought for the afternoon. Now that we're off of those indexes, some are still in cash, and so there's not much to report. I want to give you one piece of information that's worth remembering amongst all of the negativity. Right? We've got stories about Navy vessels crashing with merchant vessels, which is disturbing. I mean, to me, it sounds like specters at work more than anything else. But we hear stories about North Korea doing whatever. Donald Trump seems like he's having a hard time in the presidency. And all these things seem to make you feel like the market should go a lot lower. To me, the only thing I care about is the small cap index, which is plummeting. So that's what makes me feel like the market's going lower. But I'm going to leave you with a couple of thoughts. 10 years ago, the total combined assets of the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of Japan, $4 trillion equivalent dollars. Today it's $13.8 trillion. You don't need to look any further than that statistic to understand why the market's up. It's not earnings. It's not the economy. It's not any of the other things people tell you. It's central banks adding an enormous amount of capital. Now let's add the People's Bank of China to that $13.8 trillion, and today we have $19 trillion, up from $4 trillion 10 years ago. $19 trillion. Are you still confused why the markets are up? Are you really going to sit there and quote to me, you know, P.E. ratios? None of those things matter right now when central banks are controlling the markets, right? So we've got to always remember that, even though we're in the midst of a decline in the market, and I agree, I think the market's going lower, we can wax poetic together and come up with all the reasons, but never forget that right behind you is $19 trillion and rising. Okay? $19 trillion and rising. And today, I just saw another statistic that the European Central Bank has added almost another billion? Trillion? Maybe it must be another billion. Another billion euros to the corporate bond market in Europe. So they're at 105 billion, yeah, billion. $105 billion. Think about that. $105 billion euros are on the ECB's balance sheet of corporate debt in Europe. And that's how, my friends, we get to a junk bond market in Europe that has yields lower than 30-year U.S. Treasuries. Right? These things don't make a lot of sense, and trying to make sense of it's a waste of time. So what we try to do here is we rehabilitate portfolios, and as we navigate the waters for our own personal capital, is we use the algorithms to tell us when the coast is clear to put capital to work so that tidal wave of central bank money takes over for all of the news stories, and then when to step aside when the news stories heat up and the market needs to have a correction. The only correction that we're really going to be concerned about is one that's based on really good news. Let's pretend that Trump and Congress get together and pass some really great tax legislation and, you know, make some real strides when it comes to rebuilding this country's infrastructure. The market will be up big that day and probably down by the end of the week. And that sell-off is the one I'm concerned about, because that's the time where central banks will say, hey, we can start pulling back on all the liquidity we're adding because the political arm of the government is doing their job. And so we don't have to add so much liquidity. And I think when that happens, it will be the classic sell-on-the-news scenario, and the selling won't be very pretty. Right now, when we get negative stories about North Korea and Trump's cabinet falling apart, that's short-term really negative. Long-term, probably going to have a lot more central bank buying of assets. All right? So I hope you all have a good day of investing, a good day trading, whichever you like. And we'll look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. Take care.
To learn more about how to protect capital and still capture the upside, join us at rosenballcapital.com. And for real-time updates about what our algorithms are saying, follow us on Twitter at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T-R-O-S-E-N-T-H-A-L.